Thank you. Thank you, Sister Yuta, for that beautiful rendition. One more announcement. I think, I don't know whether I announced this or not, but there will be a Sunday school at 10:30 for all children. 10:30, so the children's meeting is, and young adults too, evidently. His subject is certainly a strong one, one I'm sure we will enjoy. It's entitled, Thy Kingdom Come. Thy Kingdom Come, Brother George.
Rather know how that the New Jerusalem would fit in so very beautiful with the subject, Thy Kingdom Come. I'm sure they didn't know the subject until just now. We also appreciate the Lord's overruling in the talk that was given previously, how that it also beautifully fits in with this presentation. Yesterday we failed to bring you the love of our son David, who wanted to be remembered to all who know him. Again, we would like to express our appreciation to the dear ones who have made this convention possible. We do appreciate your hospitality. Again, we'd like to mention how that we have been encouraged to see those brethren here in wheelchairs. And we were especially pleased that Sister Ruth Slavinsky could be here today. This is indeed an encouragement to us. If time permits, we'll repeat this a little later, but we want to draw to your attention an illustration which fits in with the subject, Thy Kingdom Come. The convention started here on Friday evening. Many of you were present at that time. Others have come at different times, including those on the last day or the last hour. The kingdom, as represented in our returned Lord and the resurrected saints, was set up in the year 1878. The Heavenly Father and our Lord did not have to wait for the last hour ones to be present before the work of establishing the kingdom began. For nearly 2,000 years, Christians have been praying, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth, even as Thy will is done in heaven. Devout Christians are still today in 1988 praying for the kingdom to be established in the earth. Many professed Christians, however, seem to have forgotten the import of these words. We encourage each one who is seeking to do the Heavenly Father's will to remember this model prayer and to earnestly, sincerely pray for the incoming kingdom. Please be assured that this oft-repeated prayer will be answered in God's due time. Prayer is certainly a privilege that we have. Those who have a measure of faith, shown here, have the privilege of prayer in a measure. Those who have fully devoted themselves to the Heavenly Father can come boldly, confidently, to the throne of grace. May we sincerely have the kingdom as the burden of our prayers. May we continue to pray for this incoming kingdom. Now may we listen to the beautiful words, sweet hour of prayer. Our dear sister Helena has consented to sing these words, number 274. Perhaps you may want to turn to that number and follow as she sings. Thank you, Sister Helena. We do appreciate the talents of so many of our brethren. We do belong to a wonderful family. Our desire at this time is to present the message in the spirit of tolerance and goodwill toward all. It is our desire to assist each other. I was so encouraged a few minutes before the service began with a dear one coming and asking a question about the Chart of the Ages. And she was doing it in the spirit of wanting to learn. Isn't that a beautiful attitude, and the Heavenly Father so appreciates those who are sincere, wanting to learn His beautiful plan. This reminds me of a quotation that we find in The Divine Plan of the Ages in the opening chapter. Note the humility of these words of that faithful and wise servant. Though in this work we shall endeavor, and we trust with success, to set before the interested and unbiased reader the plan of God as it relates to and explains the past, the present, and the future of His dealings in a way more harmonious, beautiful, and reasonable than is generally understood, yet that this is the result of extraordinary wisdom or ability on the part of the writer is positively disclaimed. It is the light from the Sun of Righteousness in this dawning of the millennial day that reveals these things as present truth, now due to be appreciated by the sincere, the pure in heart. So thank you, dear sister, for asking that question. There's nothing that brings us more joy than to discuss these wonderful truths which mean so much to us. You recall how that at the first Advent, the disciples came to our dear Savior and asked Him to teach them to pray. They had seen that He was a man of prayer. They had seen that He constantly sought the Father's will. The account of the disciples coming to our Lord is found in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And the model prayer itself is in verses 2 through 4. And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And He said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. When will that prayer that so many have prayed be fully answered? That prayer will be fully answered by the close of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. The Messianic age is the same as the millennial age. This prayer, then, will be fully answered by the conclusion of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. By then, all enemies will have been put under the feet of Jesus, under the feet of Christ. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25, For He, that is Christ, must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. These beautiful flowers that we see before us remind us of the fact that by the close of this 1,000-year reign of Christ, this earth will be a paradise worldwide. This paradise worldwide will be inhabited with the regenerated race of Adam. It's worth praying for, isn't it, friends? Thy kingdom come. Some have mistakenly been taught that the kingdom was set up at Pentecost, way back at the beginning of the gospel age. We know that the kingdom was not set up at that time. However, those disciples who had fully surrendered their wills to the Heavenly Father and who were endeavoring to follow in the footsteps of the dear Redeemer received the Holy Spirit and thus became embryo new creatures. And here on the chart, plane M, we see the plane of spirit begettal. Those on that plane are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We new creatures are operating through this human body, the only body we have at the present time. Those who were faithful unto death, all down through the gospel age, and those faithful here in this transition period in the harvest time, will constitute the spiritual phase of the kingdom. Yesterday we saw that number to be 144,000 plus our Lord and head. The time for the rewarding of the saints and the establishment of the kingdom is at the second advent of Christ. The first Christian martyr after the death of our dear Redeemer was Stephen, as we know, because of his faithfulness to the truth, because of his faithfulness in bearing witness to the truth, he was stoned to death. In Acts chapter 7, verse 60, we are informed that when Stephen died, he fell asleep. Stephen did not go to heaven at that time. No. The resurrection of the saints is at the second advent. It is at the beginning of the second presence of Christ. The expression first fruits suggests that there will be others to be resurrected. The entire Messianic Age is properly styled the Resurrection Age because the work of resurrection covers 1,000 years. We rejoice in the fact that Stephen and the one who was responsible for his stoning, the Apostle Paul, who later, as we know, was converting, and all of the other apostles, and all of the faithful ones down through the age, have been resurrected because we are in the early morning hours of the resurrection age. Yes, a new day has dawned. As Sister Ruth and I were coming to the convention at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, inside the terminal, we saw a very interesting display. All of you in traveling at the airport have noticed how that many companies will display a certain thing there, advertising their business or whatnot. This one really caught our attention. Now again, since that we remember more by seeing than by hearing, we want you to think of a beautiful sunrise with the sun just halfway up. And what do you suppose that this advertisement had at the top of this sunrise halfway up? These words, "A new day has dawned." It's interesting how that the world arrives at the truth without knowing it in some cases. And we proceeded to pick up a brochure that they had there by the display. And it's interesting to note how that this conveys to our mind the fulfillment of Daniel, the 12th chapter, and many other places regarding a great increase of knowledge at this time in which we are now living. This great increase of knowledge, of course, actually began 75 years before this new day began to dawn. But since 1874, and even in most recent years, the increase of knowledge is so great that most of us can't keep up with it. Well, it's interesting to note how that others realize that we are in a different age. We have already had brought to our attention 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 16. Again, let us repeat how that we appreciate the Lord's overruling in the singing of the New Jerusalem and in the previous message that we heard, because it laid the groundwork for the subject, Thy Kingdom Come. May we read those words by Paul. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. From these words, we realize that there would come a time when those who had fallen asleep in death would be resurrected. And we believe that year, as we have already pointed out, was 3.5 years from the time our Lord returned, namely 1878. And this date is based upon the fact that at the first advent, our Lord, shortly before his crucifixion, was proclaimed king. In the year 1878, then, 3.5 years from the beginning of his second presence, he began to exercise the power which was given to him at the time of his resurrection from the dead. All power in heaven and in earth was given to him at that time. He did not begin the work, though, of establishing the kingdom until his second return. Then in the next verse, after we have been informed that those sleeping saints would arise first, the apostle proceeds to remind us that there would be some of us who would be the 11th hour class, so to speak. Not all of us could arrive at the convention when it began. Some came today. And so there are those of us who are alive and remain during this transition period. We too must finish our earthly course faithfully unto death before we are resurrected as a part of that first resurrection. We note from Paul's words here that eventually we are going to be all together with the other members of that body of Christ. Now again, we emphasize that not all of us were together here Friday evening. We knew of the coming of Sister Ruth Slavinsky on Sunday, and we were anticipating her arrival. And so we can imagine that our Lord and the resurrected saints are anticipating your arrival to be a part of this general assembly and church of the firstborn. There was work for our Lord and the resurrected saints to do at this time, else the saints would not have been resurrected. It is kingdom work. Again, we've had the scripture brought to our attention in Revelation 14:13, but it bears repetition. There our Lord, through the Revelator, brings to our attention that there would come a time when death would be a blessing to a certain class. Yes, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth, from the time that our Lord took unto himself his power to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, since 1878, one by one, the members are arriving at that general assembly in church of the firstborn. What jubilation there will be when that last one passes beyond the veil. Yes, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, that their works do follow them. It does cost us something while this new creature is operating in this earthen vessel that is gradually deteriorating. The older we get, the more aches and pains we have. It is laborious to the body, to the flesh, to go and put out tracks. But to the new creature, it is a privilege, a blessing. Or the many other privileges set before the Lord's people will cost them something. Yes, it's laborious, but we rejoice in the privileges. However, at the time we are resurrected to be with our Lord and the other members, these laborious efforts come to an end, but this same work, this kingdom work, continues beyond the veil. What a privilege is set before those who are the spiritual seed of Abraham. In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. We would repeat what was mentioned yesterday, that after that last member, somewhere about here on the stream of time, has passed beyond the veil, and thus the marriage will have taken place. There will still be a brief period of time before the earthly phase of that kingdom is established. Just how brief, we can only surmise. But of necessity, when there is total, complete anarchy, it couldn't be too long, else no flesh would be saved alive. We noted yesterday that after the little flock is complete, and beyond the veil, that the great multitude represented by T will be dealt with as a class. When total, complete anarchy begins, these of the tribulation saints will experience trouble in order that their flesh might be destroyed, but their spirit saved. They will be born of the Spirit and eventually will be here on the chart. And then even after they are dealt with, the world will still be in total, complete anarchy. There will be this part of the harvest work of the completion of the burning of the tares. In other words, all of these who profess to be Christians will then wake up to the fact that they are really not Christians. And it is then, at the moment before all flesh is destroyed, Matthew 24:22, that the elect Christ, here already complete at that point, will stop the trouble. What a glorious prospect and promise. There is so much to say and so little time to say it in that it's hard to know where to go from here. Let us turn to Daniel 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it, the kingdom, break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. This again is in harmony with what we have seen thus far. Before the lease to the Gentiles expired in the year 1914, the kingdom is represented in our returned Lord and the resurrected saints was set up in the days of these kings. Now, this is God's kingdom, but it is under the administration of Christ and his bride for the 1,000 years. We note in 1 Corinthians 15 that at the conclusion of this 1,000-year kingdom, it will be turned over to the Heavenly Father so that he may be all in all. If we can just grasp the fact, dear friends, that the establishing of this kingdom is a process. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will eventually be with our other brethren beyond the veil. Now, it's true that our Heavenly Father could have cut everything off just with a straight line, such as we see here at the end of the patriarchal age. Now, that's about the only place that we have the ending of a certain period of time that there's not something to show an overlapping. And I'm sure we could even perhaps think of some overlapping there. And there was, because the sons of Jacob were already alive at the time that Jacob died. So in a sense, there was even an overlapping there. God just doesn't chop things off, but rather he is very economical. And no time is wasted. And that's the reason why that this kingdom gradually comes into power and control as the old order is being destroyed, consumed, done away with. And now, in the moment or two that we have left, we have to get to that scripture in Revelation that ties in with the New Jerusalem. So may we quickly turn to Revelation, the 21st chapter. You're familiar with these words, verses 1 and 2. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. How beautiful. A new heaven and a new earth. Yes, the third dispensation, the third world. For the first or the former, the second, which is now passing away, the former heaven and the former earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Yes, there will be no more of the restless masses of mankind. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Isn't this a beautiful way of our Lord through John describing the gradual establishment of this spiritual phase of the kingdom, gradually coming into power and control? And then, after the trouble is stopped, as we have seen, after the earthly phase of the kingdom is established, after the new covenant has been inaugurated, then verse 4 reminds us that the wiping away of all tears will begin. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And the way the Heavenly Father is going to do this is through the Christ. All things are of the Father, but by the Son. Yes, and you, and you, and each one who is faithful will have a part in the wiping away of all tears. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Please continue to pray for this incoming kingdom.
Thy kingdom come. We are going to have a short intermission after we sing this hymn. And Brother George dismisses us with a prayer. There'll be a 15-minute intermission, and we'll come together, and we'll have Brother Leo post the service. We'll close this service with hymn number 32. The Prospect. Hymn number 32.
Come on, you saints, we lift this banner.
Loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. As a group of thy people, we do earnestly and sincerely continue to pray for thy incoming kingdom. We thank thee for the gift of thy dear Son who died for us. In his name we pray. Amen.
We just have your attention for one moment. Some friends.